Let's get ready to rumble!
Yes, hello once again. We're back for Bunty's Boxing Podcast from William Hill. Plenty of good fights to look forward to this weekend in the company of the one and only Steve Bunce. You well, sir?
Yeah, never been better, Lee. Never been better.
Should we start off by talking about the small matter of Floyd Mayweather Jr. versus Manny Pacquiao? Going to be the most expensive boxing match in UK pay-per-view history, they're saying. The previous record held, of course, by Ricky Hatton's fight with Mayweather in 2007. We were kind of looking ahead to this as punters, I guess, and as viewers, and I was expecting maybe to have to shell out 30 quid between me and my mates if I was watching it at home. It's not as bad as that, actually, Bunty, is it? I think, you know, it goes up to $24.95 for the fight if you don't pay early, but I think it's $19.95, which isn't too much more than Froch versus Groves.
No, it's a couple of quid more than that, and I'll be absolutely honest with you, I thought it was going to start at $24.99, and I thought they were going to have a midnight of the day before the fight where it goes up to $29.99. It's actually come in 5 quid less, which is an awful lot less than I expected, you know, and if they do 500,000 or 600,000, it's a lot of money. Yeah. So I'm pleasantly surprised by that. I think they maybe did a little bit of groundwork on it, a bit of research, and thought, you know, we've got to be a bit careful here because we think inside Sky Boxing this is the biggest fight in the world. People are talking about it being the biggest fight since X, Y, and Z. Well, all the fights it's being referred to and being compared to stopped the world, and I mean that nicely. I keep, you know, saying, well, it's as big as Ali Frazier 1. No, it's not. I mean, back then there was, you know, one radio station, yes, two TV stations, yeah, and nine papers, and they sent their journalists out for sort of 6 weeks. It's not what things were because of the multimedia world that we live in.
Yeah.
Nothing's ever going to be as big again. It's just, that's just the way it works.
Yeah.
And I think perhaps they looked at things and thought, you know what, I don't think we are going to sell 3 million here.
Yeah.
And let's not antagonize people by asking them for a little bit more. By keeping the price like that, I think they might have dragged in a few extra people.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of extra people. It's a clever move.
Yeah, I mean, when you compare it to what we're told HBO are preparing to charge, you know, $99.95, about 65 quid. That's an awful lot. I mean, I know, but the difference, I suppose, is that, I mean, people are saying that the record was that Hatton fight, 1.2 million pay-per-view viewers, that they say it's going to beat that, but there's one thing missing. I mean, I know these two fighters are huge, and, you know, as boxing fans, we're all looking forward to it. Ricky Hatton was gold dust for the UK audience. Do you think it will be? I mean, people are saying it's going to shatter that 1.2 million.
You have to have
a British interest to shatter it from the UK, shouldn't it?
I don't think it gets there. And I'll tell you for why, okay? Mayweather, 18 months ago, fought Canelo Alvarez. It was a brilliant fight. Alvarez is unbeaten. And it was on Box Nation, okay? And Box Nation did good business, brisk business, very good business, very happy business. I think their second best ever take-up, the best ever take-up was David Hay against Del Boy Chisora. So it did good business, okay? But it did considerably less than 1.2 million. Mm. It did considerably less than 600,000. It did considerably less than 300,000. And here's the thing. I wonder how many people complained to Sky Boxing that they didn't have Canelo unbeaten, tipped to possibly upset Mayweather against Mayweather. My answer, my gut feeling is none.
Mm.
So now I understand there's casual fans, and casual fans do have a sort of sense that there's something going on, but I don't know if there's 1.2 million of them out there, if you want to know my honest opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a hardcore audience of 250,000 that will buy any pay-per-view. We know that because they bought Bellew and Cleverly, 280,000 of them, according to Barry Hearn. That's fantastic. You know, that's a good figure. For buying a fight like that, I've got to be honest with you. So if there's 280,000 out there, that they know they're going to sell 280,000. My gut feeling is they do well to double that, and I just hope they don't get Barry Hearn as the salesman for it, because he says when he was asked about who would win, he said, "Shut up, Mayweather wins a landslide points decision. He's streets ahead. The fight comes 2 years too late, and Pacquiao is way past his best and won't lay a glove on him." Fantastic sales pitch, Barry. He goes on to add, Mr. Hearn, put your mortgage on it and someone else's mortgage. Well, I just hope they get him on Sky selling the fight. That'll entice a few people to come along, won't it?
Yeah.
No, all jokes aside, it's a fantastic event. It's a brilliant event. anything above 500,000 sales would be brilliant. And of course, we're unreliably informed that Sky have done a deal with the promoters of the fight, where the promoters of the fight get a percentage of the pay-per-view. We know that, again, we're unreliably informed. We know that Sky's deal wasn't as much as Box Nation's deal, but Box Nation's deal was a one-off deal, and the promoters out there already in a fight that's generating 300 odd million US dollars decided they'd go for some percentage points on the British pay-per-view sales. It'll be interesting to see, because I'm hoping if that's the case, if their fee is dependent on more pay-per-view sales here in the UK, I'm hoping that Sky have secured some private time with Mayweather. Because that's not easy. You know, Box Nation have paid Mayweather a lot of money in the last 2 or 3 years, a good couple of million quid, and that has given Box Nation no guaranteed access. So I'm hoping Sky, for all the money they potted out, get some good access. I mean, proper access. I don't mean Bob Arum, Floyd Mayweather Sr., for God's sake. You know, he gets interviewed when he goes to McDonald's, Floyd Mayweather Sr. I mean proper interviews. I'm hoping they can get Mayweather. That, you know, if we're sit down, I'm hoping they can get Pacquiao with Freddie Roach for a sit down. That would be fantastic. Good luck to them, and it's brilliant for British sport that we're going to get to see it live, and it's brilliant that Sky haven't gone 10 quid above what we thought they could do.
Yeah, there's so many facets to this this fight, of course, money being one of the main ones. The Twitter's a joy to watch, and even Facebook, if you're a member of any of the boxing kind of groups on there, we're getting videos of both of them hitting the bags and trying to guess who's the quicker. We're getting rumours that Mayweather's been knocked down in sparring, and then the guy who's supposed to have done it saying, nah, it didn't happen. And of course, we're concerned with the betting here at William Hill Buntsie. 4-9 Mayweather, the draw 20-1, and Pacquiao 15-8. Obviously,
what's Pacquiao on points right now?
9-2.
That's the bet.
It's a big price, isn't it? Unless you're Barry Hearn, of course.
Yeah, two judges have failed to make Mayweather the winner in a couple of his recent fights. Now that's two judges have failed to make him a winner in fights that he won clearly by a landslide. Not a landslide. He won them 8-4 and he won them 10-2, and two judges made it a draw. So if Pacquiao nicks more than four rounds, by that reasoning, he's going to walk the fight.
Yeah.
All Pacquiao's got to do is win three rounds and the judges will give it to him.
Yeah.
No, I'm being honest. According to that rule, I mean, Saul Canelo Alvarez maybe nicked a round. If you're kind, you give him two. One judge gave it a draw.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So Pacquiao, who's been in some tricky fights before where he's got the verdict, hey, who knows? He stays on his feet. He throws those flashy punches. I think 9-2 Pacquiao now, that's a great bet.
Yeah, it's interesting because Mayweather's shorter to win on points than he is to win. So he's 4-7 to win on points. He's 4-9 to win the fight. And Pacquiao, 15-8 to win the fight and 9-2 to win on points. So Pacquiao by stoppage is 5-1. So you're getting an extra bit of value there. How sensational would it be, Buntsie, for Mayweather to be stopped by Pacquiao? I can barely even think about that.
Well,
you know, if you go in with a Pacquiao win, you have to go with points, surely.
No, listen, I was talking to Ricky Hatton recently, and he said, you know, he thinks that Pacquiao, so Mayweather's got the edge because he's not as battle worn. But had Pacquiao fought Mayweather after Pacquiao beat Ricky Hatton, that would have been my prediction then. Was Pacquiao to get to him. But by the way, can I just tell you, that was 2009.
I know, God.
2009. What year is it now, Lee?
I think it's 2015.
Fantastic. Who won the Premier League in 2009, and what was the strike force? There we go.
Yeah, answers on a postcard or on Twitter.
Thank you. Carry on.
Let's have a look at this weekend's boxing, shall we? Oval McKenzie versus Matty Askins on Box Nation on Friday night. Good fight, this one. The records see McKenzie with 23 wins, 12 by stoppage, 12 losses, and 3 of those have been stoppages for Oval McKenzie. Matty Askins, 17 wins, 10 by stoppages, lost twice, and been stopped. The odds show Oval McKenzie is the 4-6 favourite. Matty Askins 6-5. The draw 22-1 for the British and Commonwealth Cruiserweight titles. Should be a good one, this, Buntsie.
Yeah, it's a cracking fight, this. It's one of those genuine old school British title fights that tend to go under the radar because everyone's in love with glitz and glam and what we're told is a great fight. This is a good good fight. Matty Askin, couple of losses, one of them on the road, no shock, against an unbeaten guy in Poland a couple of years ago, no shame in that. On a good run, beaten guys that, you know, were all in last few fights. Mene Edwards, who was 12-2, China Clark, who was 11-0, lost to John Lewis Dickinson, beat Neil Dawson when Neil Dawson was 9-0. He's not had one of those easy, overmatched, undermatched careers. Equally, over McKenzie is one of those unbelievably overmatched careers. There was a period there when he'd been pro a couple of years when he'd lost far more than he'd won, kind of thing. He's proved himself, I think, in his last few fights. After losing the light heavyweight title, Commonwealth light heavyweight title to Enzo a couple of years ago, he did Tony Conquest for the Commonwealth, and then he did John Lewis Dickinson in Newcastle, did Tony Conquest in Tony Conquest's backyard. He's been a bit homeless, been a bit stateless when it comes to boxing, Oval, even though he's been living in Britain from Jamaica for about 14 years now. I think he has to start as a favourite, Oval, but Matty Askins, genuinely, and I've had long chats with him and Michael Jennings, who trains him, and Paul Speaker manages him, they think that they've got no problem. They think that McKenzie is going to expect them to just go forward in straight lines, gung-ho. They're going to box, they're going to be clever, and they're going to do the business late. They're so convinced. You know, you rarely meet people, everyone says they're going to win, but then you sit with people who you know, and you think, you know what, they really believe it. They genuinely believe that this is, you know, this is not only are they going to win, they think it's actually an easy fight, to be honest with you. I just fancy Overhill to cover any problems that occur, and I think at some point he'll drag Askins in, and I think that'll be the end. I think about six, seven, eight rounds, McKenzie stoppage. Great fight, a guaranteed you'll call blockbuster.
Yeah, McKenzie by stoppage. You can get around just a touch of odds on, or around the even money mark, maybe 10 to 11, just for a McKenzie stoppage. If you want to go into a bit deeper, then Bunty, 6 to 8. Well, we can go, let's see what we can get here. We can get McKenzie 7 to 9, and you're looking at around 9 to 2, something like that for that, maybe 5 to 1. So, yeah, not a bad price, I suppose, if you want to.
No, it's not.
7, 8, 9 there.
That's decent.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it'd be great. At the Motorpoint Arena on Saturday night, when Cal Brook's in action, we've got two other fights that we're going to have a quick look at. The first of those being Adam Etches, who's 1-3 to win the IBF International Middleweight title against Sergei Kamitsky, who's 12-5. 29 wins, 12 by stoppage. He's lost 11 times, Kamitsky, three of those by stoppage, and drawn three as well. Etches is unbeaten, Bunty. 18 fights, 18 wins, 15 by stoppage. Is he deserving of the 1-3 price there?
Well, I think it's a little bit harsh. I mean, Kamitsky had that win against Bulioni last year. Not a lot of value in it. I suppose you just put it in. I'd go for Etches to win. I'd have him in any Aki I was putting together. Anything better than a points win is a result. Kamitsky is one of those guys that if he trains just a little bit, he's very dangerous, and he's trained a lot for this. You know, we like him at quite short notice, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
So I think Etches wins, but I don't think there's a lot of value in that. No,
it's difficult, isn't it? I mean, he's had a tough run, Kamitsky, hasn't he? Nick Blackwell, of course, the draw. Only a six rounder. He fought Stieglitz, lost by TKO in the 10th. As you mentioned, the win over Buglioni. Martin Murray stopped in an eight rounder, wasn't he? In 2000.
But they were a lot better and more advanced than Adam Etches. Yeah. So if Adam Etches added his name to that. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Adam Etches is a good guy. You know, I think he's a good little fighter. I thought he might have been a bit more advanced at this stage because I spoke to him about a year ago, so I thought he might have moved on a bit more. But this is a terrific win for him.
Yeah. So you think it'll be points then, do you?
I think it'll be points. Was it 10 or 12? But it's only 10, isn't it?
Yes, it's it's 10 rounder, yeah.
10,
yeah, so by points, you're looking at around the 7-4 mark for that one. Kevin McDonald's in action as well, the Donny lad, against Alexander Yegorov. This is for the European Super Bantamweight title, which is vacant at the moment. 12 wins for McDonald. Four by stoppage, he's drawn twice but never lost. Yegorov never lost either. 13 fights, six by stoppage, and one draw on his record. This isn't the most exciting of the three fights that we're going to talk about, but it's interesting to see McDonald's progression, Buncey. I mean, obviously, yeah. he's massively popular around South Yorkshire. 28 now. I was surprised he hadn't fought more, if I'm being honest.
I think he likes to live a life. You know, he likes to live. He's one of those guys that when he turned pro, he decided that he would box, but he'd also live. He wouldn't, you know, wouldn't necessarily go and live like a monk and train himself into oblivion and obscurity. I think he wins this on points. As you say, it's not one of those fights that's necessarily going to blow you out of your seat, but it's a good fight. We're a bit sport, really, Lee. You know, we kind of look, you know, we sort of turn our nose up. We've got two unbeaten guys here in a European title fight. In the 70s, this would have been top of the bill at the Albert Hall, Wembley. And it would have been live on the BBC, watched by about 9 million. People would have been writing about it for 5 or 6 days, because they were rare European title fights. Rare that you had two unbeaten guys in them. We're just kind of spoiled, aren't we? You see what I'm saying? We just take it in our stride. And it's a hard fight for McDonald, but I think he wins. On points.
The points bet would be the outsider of the two in terms of how he wins. His odds on to win by stoppage and about 11 to 8, 6 to 4 to win by decision. And then we come on to Kell Brook for the IBF World Welterweight title, of course. Kell's record reads 33 wins, 22 by stoppage, never been beaten. He's fighting the brilliantly named Jojo Dan. It's not his actual name, but it's easier to pronounce.
What is his name? It's just ridiculous, isn't it? I sort of don't even know what it is.
I mean, I'm presuming you say Ayanut Dan Eon, but I don't know if those I's are J's. I'm presuming they're J's because that's why he's Jojo, so it must be Jonut. I apologise to Jonut.
We had him on Box Nation and we sort of gave up. We called him the Donut in the end.
I was trying to avoid that. Jonut Dan Jean, maybe. Jojo Dan, though, his alias.
Jojo Dan is
name. Let's go with that.
Spoke to him yesterday. Speaks fantastic English. Oh, lovely fella.
Yeah, 33, Buncey. 34 wins, 18 by stoppage. He's got two defeats in his record. Those two came against the same guy, didn't they? Selchuk Aydan, who must be his nemesis. But, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong and if I'm doing the guy a disservice, but he looks like he's a European-level fighter to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Selçuk Aydan, it was briefly with Adam Booth, Turkish, and they were hard fights. I think there were a couple of splits in there. He's won a couple also on split. Lots of decisions, lots of 12-rounders in his career, and also 12-rounders that weren't splits that were tight and hard, which means he offers, he's never been stopped, which means he offers the perfect type of opponent for Kell Brook to come back, okay? Not a guy who's coming up from lightweight, not an American with an unproven track record, and let's say a guy that was 11-0. No, this is a hard fight, and what Kell needs after having his leg filleted by some nutcase in Tenerife last September, I can say that without fear of being sued. The guy's still on the run after that outrageous machete attack. This is what Kell needs. So if it goes 12, fantastic. He's been out of the ring since last summer. If he gets to him, even more impressive. You kind of expect him to get to him, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, because it's not like, you know, he lost on points to Keith Thurman, he lost on points to Andre Berto, he lost on points to I don't know, Tim Bradley.
No.
You know, he lost on points to Selçuk Aydın.
Yep.
So you'd expect Kell to be the person to put the stoppage on him, the first stoppage on him. And I'd expect Kell to get to him. Wouldn't surprise me if he gets to him earlier rather than later. So I'd expect Kell to get to him by about 8 rounds. That'd be my gut feeling. Anything from about 5 or 6 rounds, I think Kell's full of anger at the moment. He's lost some time.
I was going to ask you about that, Bunty, because I'm always... I mean, Kell Brook's one of my favourite fighters to watch, but at the same token... and I don't mean this in the way it'll sound, but sometimes I don't trust exactly what he says in the build-up. I'd rather see him on the night and back him rather than listening to what he's got to say. I think that just because of what's happened in the past, and I'm wondering what his mental state is now. I mean, he's saying that it's been a blessing in disguise. It's refocused him. He needs to get on it, and you know, and we've heard that a lot before, Buncey, haven't we?
Yeah, we've heard it too many times with Kell, when he had that bad performance against Carson Jones, when he had to pull out of this fight, when there were rumours about this, when he was stabbed a few years ago. You know, it's the second time he's been assaulted with someone wielding a blade. He finds himself, for a good guy, in a lot of unfortunate positions, doesn't he?
Very good way of putting it, Bunty.
So, you know, but we know he's talent, we know he can bang, you know, he likes to bang. Plus, and let's not mince our words, if he gets a good win here, he has to fight one of those guys who's a biggish name, and then he gets sometime in the next 18 months. You know, he's at that top three for a Mayweather-Pacquiao call-up. Yeah. You know, that's what we're talking about here. He goes from making whatever he's making on Saturday, which is never going to be what you think he's making, and then he goes into another fight. Let's say he fights a Thurman or a Berto, okay? Win or lose, it doesn't hurt him in those. I fancy he'd beat both of those. Then what, if you come through a fight against those two, you get even closer to a very lucrative fight with Amir Khan. But more than that, you secure yourself right at the top of that list for a showdown with a Mayweather or a Pacquiao in, let's say, May of next year. Mm. And that's what we're talking about, a long game here. So he can't slip up against Jojo, Dan. And also, I don't think 12 rounds will be good enough. And we remember Thurman went against Leonard Bundu. Now, if Thurman, who dropped Bundu early in the fight, had got him out of there, okay, we might have seen Keith Thurman in a fight with Mayweather and Pacquiao right now.
Right, yeah.
Didn't he? Went 12 rounds with a 40-plus-year-old Italian.
Mm.
Now, I am telling you, that's one of the least sexy things in the world. The only thing less sexy than going 12 rounds with a 40-year-old Italian is going 12 rounds with a 33-year-old Romanian. So for American TV purposes, and this is being screened in America, Kell Brook needs to remind them all why he turned over unbeaten Sean Porter last year and get to him, which I think he'll do sometime 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, so
that's my gut feeling.
Yeah, Kell Brook in rounds 4-6 is 4-1. Rounds 7-9 is 7-2. You can have the individual round by round, of course. They're all in double figures. They all range from around the 11-1 mark up to 12-1 for that group that Buncey said there. And just for a plain old stoppage, it's odds on 4-6, but damn sight better than the actual price for him to win, which is 1-16. Yeah. So,
however, he's tricky. You know, fights southpaw a lot of the time, Jojo. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he knows more than enough to get through, because he's done a lot of 12 rounders in the last couple of years, an awful lot, 5 or 6 in the last 8 or something ridiculous like that. He's a 12 round hard man. Kell will have to look special. We think he's special. He's called the special one. Prove it to us. Show us.
Buncey, thanks very much for your time. That'll do us this week. We'll be back to preview cracking weekend of boxing when we get Josh Warrington back in action, Andy Lee's fighting Peter Quillin as well, Danny Garcia, Lamont Peterson that weekend as well. So the 11th and 12th of April we'll reconvene. Grand National weekend as well, I think, that weekend. So great week, sporting weekend, and we'll speak to you before that, Buncey.
Top man, Lee. Speak to you then. Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.